I saw it recently, and it's got the mom who's the mom from A Christmas Story. And she plays a mom who can stop time.
Yes.
Oh,
I did see that.
Was this in 1985?
Yes.
Twilight Zone?
Yes.
I made Lyric watch some of those. They were almost impossible to get. They are so much fun.
They are fun.
There's like a new new.
There's a new new. That's the old new.
No, no, this is the old new.
The new new is by Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The new new is pretty good too.
I think that's the new new new. I think there's probably been probably four or five incarnations.
Because there was the one in the 90s that was hosted by Forest Whitaker too.
Oh no, I didn't. I forgot about that.
I forgot about that one too.
I'm not sure if I knew that existed.
It only got like one season. I think like 12 episodes.
That's a shame.
The 1985 one is still like memories of my childhood of being creeped out. And
I went back. I watched them. They were showing those on one of the over the air channels when I first canceled cable. I was watching some of the over the air channels, and I was like, and that episode came on with the lady who could stop time and a couple other ones, and I was like, God, and it's so weird when you see something that you saw when you were a kid, but you haven't seen since you were a little kid.
Yeah,
I've been watching GoBots.
Oh, wow. Is it as terrible as I remember it? I remember it being like the cheapest anime.
It's worse. Oh, it is so much worse. Oh, my God. It's terrible.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought Transformers from the 80s was bad, but wow, really bad.
Speaking of, Rick, you in last week's episode with Secret Monolith, you mentioned something about the Secret or Mystery Island season of Archer being based off of some old 80s show?
Yes. It was
Tales of the Golden Monkey.
Tales of the Golden Monkey. I got to remember that. I was going to go back and re-listen to the episode.
Phenomenal.
Because I love that season of Archer.
Oh, that's my favorite. It's my absolute favorite of everything. The whole Archer, everything. That's my favorite.
It's easily my wife and I's favorite episode of the coma years. But and maybe of the entire season.
Although I 100% season agree. Two
and three, I love that you and your wife watch Archer. That's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely.
They're the hottest cartoons.
Taylor's doing a rewatch of Archer right now.
Hell
yeah. I just finished my rewatch.
We've watched it like 17 times.
Archer is that like ace in the hole that we have. Like if we don't want to like commit to something, we're going to eat. We just want to watch something pretty that we don't have to think about too much or, you know, that we know we'll like. We'll throw on an episode two or three of Archer while we eat or while we're doing something. It's kind of like that. It's, you know, like throwing on that album that you like. This is the Patreon?
No, we're done with the Patreon.
Okay.
And I feel like
what we're going to do is
I feel like this has been so good that we should include this in the show.
Okay.
Let's have this be the cold open that nobody explained like why the show is starting without music.
That's why I thought we were still Patreon because I hadn't heard said theme song.
Oh.
No, and let's not and we can't say who you are yet because you haven't been introduced in the theme song yet.
Okay.
But we were going to play one of your songs, probably.
Okay, cool.
Right now, did I put that in the right hole? I did not.
Go slow.
That's what she said. Phrasing.
You can go a little faster when it's in the right hole.
There's nothing a little lube and patience won't fix.
Breathe out.
If we're going to start with one of the tunes, may I suggest Villains as the first song?
Okay.
Keep the story moving in the hero and run. Are you the hero, the villain in your little story? The villains too. Give us a villain. We need a villain. You're chilling like a villain, fool.
That was Trouble Show, our guest on this week's Worst Little Podcast.
Who wants to be famous?
The biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Fuck you, Nick.
Fuck you too, Mike. It's the Worst Little Podcast, and we're podcasting live from the recent past, high above UNR, the arches, the balls, all that shit. I'm Nick Ramirez, and like I said, it's WLP Season 15, Episode 15, and I'm here with Cadillac Kim, Dogwater Dick in the back, some guys who make movies or something, and Breck Lee Durham from Trouble Show.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
I can't believe Evan would want us to abandon that theme song. It's the greatest theme song ever.
I know,
ever.
Evan, really if you're fun. Listening.
I mean, it like
I
it
don't
just,
think so, man.
It's everything we could ever want. It's like our brand. It would like people wouldn't even know that, like, you know, it was us.
Right.
If we, imagine if it changed. That's like switching dicks midstream on Bewitched. You know?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else about that. Yeah. Wait, what?
That didn't end where I thought crossing it started streams. Out at.
Yeah, I invited Evan, if he's listening, to the 600th episode party, which is coming up.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Here pretty soon, so hopefully he comes. And
yeah.
I got a little time off work to get that massive, horrific setup done early.
Honestly, that's so. What he asked. He was like, he kind of looked at me, like, starry-eyed. He was like, wait, what? Like, what were the shows called before that you guys used to do, where it was just like the one band would come in and... Why can't I think of the name?
Oh, the backyard shows.
The Undiscovered.
Oh,
the Undiscovered. Yeah. He was like, so it's going to be like the Undiscovered. I was like, yeah, but like, I think everybody's a little better now.
And we're going to do. Yeah, no, in the Undiscovered, we would have
fine.
One setup. You're right. But we would let people change out drums, right? Didn't we? I don't remember
I think
now.
So.
Yeah. We had different drum kits. Wow. So it'd be like, we would have like nine bands play all day long in the backyard and record everything in the audience too. And like, and I had microphones stuck up in the trees to record the audience, and like, it was pretty cool. And we did those many years in a row. The podcast kind of took over from that. Some people were like, "That was so great that you did that," and it was a live recording, and it would fucking ruin my entire summer trying to get all that bullshit mixed. And it would be like doing meth the day of. Like I was literally the next day feel like I had done hard drugs.
Aww.
Like it was so stressful. And but it was a good fucking time. My dad would come from California and barbecue. It was a huge party. And we'd have, you know, 100 or 200 people over the course of the day coming in and out of the backyard. We'd get porta potties. All the neighbors at the old house were in on it.
Yeah.
They were all cool with it. They'd like hang out on their fences and watch the show. And like, it was great.
Well, it's not going to be
really
like
great.
That.
Yeah, so, but the podcast took that over. We still have live recordings of bands all the time. But instead of 9 in one weekend, it's 1 a week. Which is far more manageable for me.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that sounded like Willie Nelson's barbecue or some shit. A giant undertaking.
Yeah, and it smelled the same.
Imagine, yes.
A lot of weed, a lot of B.O.
The like best combination ever.
No patchouli, please.
No patchouli. I was going to say, that's the third smell.
It might smell like patchouli should be here. But don't do it.
No. Please no.
If it was Willie Nelson's barbecue, it'd be B.O. weed and barbecue.
No, barbecue.
Yeah, no, we had that too, for sure.
I had decent barbecue.
God, those were good times. Anyway. But Nick, who the hell's on the show? It's Breck.
Who are
it's
these
Breck.
People?
It's our good friend Breck Lee Durham.
Howdy.
Did I introduce you correctly as just Trouble Show, or should I just have said Lee Durham of Trouble Show? Now I'm confused.
Well, so, yes. So that first, the song is Trouble Show.
Nice.
We were on extended hiatus for quite a while. Got back together to record some songs for posterity There may or may not be a show sometime this summer if we can work out the logistics and herd all those cats. But technically, it'll be the reunion CD release party, world tour, farewell show, all in one. technically trouble. We're active, but we're not. It's kind of weird, but we will have an EP coming out here in the next 4 to 6 weeks, probably.
Awesome.
But I'm also promoting. I've got a solo project that I've been recording. We'll hopefully hear one or two of those songs as well. That with local folks here at Dogwater with Mr. Rick, as well as a couple of the other local studios with some other bands, and partially brought to you by the Nevada Arts Council.
Oh, did you get one of those grants?
I got one of those grants.
Hell yeah.
And that's going towards the solo project, which is going to be about a 6 or 7 song release. And that hopefully be out in late June, mid-July, somewhere in there, because we're well-run machine. And we really have no idea exactly when anything's going to fucking happen. But sometime soon. So yeah, it's Breck Lee Durham with Trouble Show, of Trouble Show,
mm-hmm.
the whole thing.
All right. So I was half right. 90% right.
67.4%.
Okay.
There are other people involved other than Trouble Show. Is yes. what you're saying.
Yes. There's a lot.
And who are some of those bands that are going to be involved on that release? Well, but none of that's being played today.
Well, actually, no. So two of the songs, I sent you two of the songs off of the solo release
mm-hmm.
and two songs off of the Trouble Show release.
Okay, right.
So the solo release that I've, again, brought to you in part by the Nevada Arts Council. I want to give them all the props I can. And I also think I'm legally required to. No, I've been super, super fortunate. I am living proof of doesn't hurt to ask. Because I asked the Nevada Arts Council for a grant, and they said, okay. And then I started asking a lot of local folks who I admire and have played with here or there that I just know, and like. For instance, who might you be talking about?
Yeah.
Well, here
you
go.
You got some guest stars on this.
Indeed. It is a High Desert Habit from Winnemucca.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah, cool.
Drove all the way here to Reno and recorded with me here in this very studio with Dogwater a couple months ago. We're going to be mixing some of that this week. Feral Heart, Kat and Eric.
Oh,
and,
yes.
We
love them too.
Yes. Played a song with them here. A couple of the guys from Moonshot. I don't know if you know Moonshot. It's Adam Gray, Smitty. They just played a really big show with Rigorous Proof on Friday.
I hate to interrupt, but I was at that show. This is the first time I'd ever actually heard them play. And funny story. So the bass player, who's the bass player in that band?
Smitty.
Okay. So Smitty, at our 500th anniversary party, we invited him up on stage and he actually won the quiz. And so I gave him a Worst Little Podcast shirt. And so I'm at the bar with Evan and Evan points him out. He's like, hey, in the wild. And I'm like, I don't even know that guy. So I talked to him and yeah. He won the shirt at the fucking podcast party.
Wearing it on stage?
Nice. Yeah, he was wearing it on stage. And I'm like, I never
Smitty,
seen
you rule.
Smitty, you rule. I've never seen like a stranger in a podcast shirt before. So it was kind of nice.
That's super cool because I was at that.
Were you?
Yes.
I see you.
It was crowded. There were a lot of people.
Yeah, it was big.
And there was a ton of people there. You were busy. and I remember I didn't know Smitty at the time. And so it's funny that it was like that was him because I remember seeing the guy who won the quiz. I was like, oh, he won the quiz. And since then, I've met him through the first person I knew in Moonshot was Adam Gray.
Mm-hmm.
He was a bartender at Keel when I was playing gigs there years ago, pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And then he started doing more of his music thing, got into Moonshot. And he actually reached out to me like a year, year and a half ago and said, our styles are kind of different. He goes, but and going more off of my acoustic solo stuff, said, I'd like to kind of dabble in Americana kind of stuff. And I'd like to let's get together and play. And so we started doing that. And he said, hey, do you want to record some of this stuff? And that was the very beginning of the project was recording with him and Thomas Pruitt from Moonshot, which was a blast. Great guys, good musicians.
Yeah.
Great musicians.
Just they were great.
A ton of fun. I love the energy of that band is really super. I love those guys.
I gave them a card. They're going to hit me up to hopefully come on the show. So if you're listening, come on the show.
Well, and I know they've got like there's some stuff going on. This was supposed to be one of the last shows because they've I think Adam has plans to move and all kind of, you know, life stuff.
You know,
so
it happens.
But but I love those dudes. And so I met Thomas through Adam and I met Smitty and the rest of the band through Adam. And the whole band didn't play on any of the songs, but Thomas and Adam did. And then I brought in a couple other people, local blues jam dude. Rick Stricker plays harmonica on one of the songs that we'll probably hear tonight. And then the whole doesn't hurt to ask because I asked her and she said yes, is Rachel McElhaney plays sax on one of the tunes. And it's fucking smoking. And so she said, yeah, I'll come out and I'll play. And so she came out and went out to Astro Sound Labs and did some sax work on it. And it was a blast.
Awesome.
And this whole thing has just been awesome. I'm still working on, don't know what to call him cause he goes by so many names, but you guys know him as Winnemucca Brown, Fred Fretless, Jerry.
Yeah.
For my props, I guess I've known Jerry since he was like 8.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I was really good friends with his older brother. His older brother graduated a year ahead of me. That's how I met Jerry and his whole family. And then
– everything they do coming out of Winnemucca is just fucking incredible.
Yeah. So I'd like to take credit for that, but I left too long ago. you know, those Winnemucca guys are great. And so, he's working on a piano track for me. I'm trying to put something together with that. It's been super cool.
And what about so did you mention
Eric Stanglin?
Oh, is he?
So Eric Stanglin, yes, he's another doesn't hurt to ask, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Trouble Show's getting back together. The core of us is Greg Sovereign plays bass. He also plays bass with Lanny and the Cryptillians. And Christopher Simpson, Christosterone as we call him, is a drummer. And he's played with Fire Versus Fire, local blues rock outfit, and does a lot of blues jam stuff. That's been the core of Trouble Show since the beginning. Kyle Visco, the famous Visco.
What is he man not child in?
Right. I got him first. After the Swell. The Swell had just stopped being a thing and before he became every man child, Jennifer Grant and everybody else, right? he played it's released under my name. But it could be called Trouble Show because it's the same guys. But it was before we decided to be a band. Mm. It was that process that made us – I think it was Kyle, ironically, the first one to leave the band that said, hey, let's do this, keep doing this. And then COVID hit and then Kyle got in 19 other bands, became the hardest working man in show business. And then
– He plays bass too.
He plays bass. He plays drum. Yeah. He played bass with the New Wave Crave the other day. I saw that.
Oh, damn.
And he plays drums with people. And
he does
acoustic cover shows. I'm like, that dude is –
Yeah. Stupid anyway, talented fuck. Yes. God right? damn it.
Right. So annoying.
We love you,
Kyle. Save some talent for right? the rest of us. Jesus.
For real.
And so the thought was Chris and Greg and I would get back together, tighten up these songs, and then see who could play lead. And I reached out to Kyle first, and he was busy. Go figure. Yeah. Right?
Mm.
And then the next person – well – technically, the next person that I reached out to was Michelle Bell, but she was having surgery, so she couldn't do it. And then the third was Eric Stanglin. And I asked Eric, and he said, yeah, I'd be down for that. And just
Jedi Master.
Holy shit, right? He came in.
Shred.
Like, he heard the songs like twice. I went over to his house. I played them for him once. I made some bad phone recordings for him. And he came in with parts. You know, he showed up to the first rehearsal like with shit ready to go. And I was like, holy crap. He's just great. And we'd had in between Kyle and Eric, we had two or three other guys that came in, played lead for us. And we had fun with him. And we gigged with Mark. But just the way everything came together with Eric was just perfect. So, it was, So, yes, yet another amazing guest star on the stuff that I've been doing. It's been I've been living the life, man. It's just overwhelming that you know, you ask, it's amazing. Well, and you were part of one of the things that we did a couple months ago that you just ask people and people show up and you got to fucking love Reno, man.
Mm-hmm. And the thing I did, the Prime.
Yeah, the worst name ever, right?
That was great. Insane.
It was a great show.
I couldn't even stay for too long. I was there, but like, Jesus Christ, it was asses to elbows. And I was like, there's people I want to see, but I can't even get to you.
I saw your post that you were there and I was like, I didn't, you know, because it was so crowded.
I think the only person I actually got to like hug or say hi to was Casey Christensen. And then I saw Nick on stage and then I saw that place is great.
Running back and forth like a, I'd say like somebody with their hair on fire. Yeah. It doesn't really apply. So
nice. Well, who else do we have here?
Yeah. What'd you guys come in for? Yeah. Your Silver State.
Storytellers.
And it's Taylor and Lyric. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Yes, I am Lyric Burt. I am the president and co-founder of Silver State Storytellers, also known as Loverboy Lyric, if you listen to Alice 96.5.
Are you on the radio?
I am, yes. I do a weekly segment on Thursday mornings to talk about what's happening in the local theater scene. So.
I love that. I'm going to have to start listening.
Since there's probably some crossover listeners. Hi, it's Loverboy Lyric.
All right. I love that. And then we got...
I am Taylor Wilson. I am also one of the co-founders of Silver State Storytellers, and I serve as the executive director as well.
Two fancy bitches up in here.
Indeed. We get to make up our titles. So, you know, we make it, we get to make the titles. It makes it a lot more fun.
And what are you promoting? I see you both wore the t-shirts, right? Or you got the shirt on.
I have the right shirt, yeah.
Right, okay.
We are promoting the Moon Rock Science Fiction Film Competition. It is, I don't remember any of the details or dates, so I will leave that to Lyric because he knows all of that every time.
It is our second annual Moon Rock Sci-Fi Short Film Competition. And we had so much fun with it last year that we were like, we have to do it again. So many of our competitors... keep submitting science fiction films, so that's why we decided last year, hey, we're gonna do a whole competition just devoted to the genre of sci-fi. So the filmmakers will have 2 weeks starting on May 21st to make a 5 to 9 minute short science fiction film based on three prompts that we give them: a line of dialogue, a prop, and a sound effect. And we will be screening all of these films at Brewery Arts Center on June 14th.
Fuck yeah, I cannot wait. When does it start?
It starts May 21st.
Okay.
And then the films are due June 4th.
June 4th.
Okay. And then our judges watch them for about a week. And then we do a big party and screening ceremony at Brewery Arts Center.
I'm excited.
Our wonderful partners. I can't drop their name enough.
Yes. We love everybody, Brewery Arts Center.
Yeah. Does everybody have the same three things?
Everybody gets the same three prompts, but I have to tell you, we've been doing these competitions now. These competitions have been around in Carson City since 2014.
Oh,
and
wow.
We
used to compete in them.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
starting in about 2018. And then in 2020, the original organizer, Darla, was like, I'm moving to Costa Rica, so somebody else needs to take these over. Didn't you guys just start a nonprofit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and their nonprofit that was kind of their umbrella was changing directions at that point. So it was kind of the perfect time. She was moving. They were losing their nonprofit. We had just started our nonprofit. You know, to promote essentially like storytelling in Nevada, stories from Nevada, authors from Nevadans about Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a great opportunity for us to kind of, well, sadly a little bit, to transition from not making movies to running these. Yeah. But it's such a fantastic opportunity to really try to grow this and see the crazy shit people put out.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. They put out some of the most brilliant stuff. And like
they do. And I have to say, since it's been in our hands, I have not seen any team like repeat the way that another team has utilized the prompts.
Wow.
Like every team gets so creative, and we've had up to about 50 teams for Carson Creepy, I think, registered. About 46 of those films made it to the screen that last year.
To give us an idea of where this is likely going, can you tell us what last year's were? I mean, last year's three prompts.
The prompts. Okay. So, gosh, I can never remember which prompts belong to which competition.
I don't know.
But give us some examples.
We've had the prompt be like a, you know, a soccer ball, a line of dialogue. Hey, haven't we been here before? A sound effect was squeaky shoes. I have to say, even though Darla moved to Costa Rica, she is still choosing the prompts. That is how she is still involved.
Nice. I love it.
Do you guys ever get, like, since you're jonesing from being the creator and now you're an administrator, do you guys ever just, like, slip in, okay, we're going to – here's one. Oh, here's one from John Smith in Gardnerville.
We did try this once. We tried this early on, and we didn't slip it in. We were totally, like, transparent about it. But we also tried to make a movie in 2 weeks and do all the administration, and that was truly probably one of the most hellish periods of our lives.
I have a therapist now. As a result of that week.
I honestly don't know how anybody can do it. Like, I think the only other person I've talked to who's done it would be my friend Rhiannon, who does the it's not Carson Creepy.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Is it Carson Creepy? She does.
Yeah. So
yeah, she and Tony and a couple other people, like, they did this, and I'm like, what do you mean you did this in like a weekend? What?
They totally took home. the first year that they did Carson Creepy, they took home Best Film Judge's Choice, and we screened their film at the Cordillera International Film Festival's Fright Night as part of their winning package.
That's awesome. I don't know how anybody can just do that in a few days, though. That's crazy.
I am floored at what people can do.
Trying to do both, like you said.
Oh, God. Never again.
That Prime.
The PTSD is flashing on your face right now.
Twitch. Fuck that shit.
That Prime show, you know, it was supposed to be a tribute to John Prine, then turned into a fundraiser. And it was super cool, and I had a great time. But, like, I had no idea. And props to Nick, who's done it with Mary Anarchy in the past, where you're running something and then you play at it too.
Uh-huh.
That was like, I was about halfway through the show when I realized, fuck, I'm still supposed to play tonight.
Yeah.
You know, how the fuck do I shift gears? You know, because it's two totally different, two different sides of your brain. Mm-hmm. You're organized and you're, okay, yes, here's the list. And how's everybody doing? And how's the sound? And how's this? And is the venue happy? And, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, fuck, I'm supposed to play a song.
Yeah. I haven't thought about music in fucking hours.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Right. Yeah, and now I got to remember lyrics. Yeah. Jesus Christ, you know?
He was editing our film on one computer, and I was on the other computer, like, editing the whole screening together. And he's like, I'm trying to get our film finished. And I'm like, I'm trying to make sure we have a competition over here.
I will say that is one of the things I greatly appreciate about movies is I could not imagine after 2 weeks of work having to actually go up and do something other than like sit and drool with a cocktail in my hand.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
It's true. Once it's done, it is done. That's it. Yeah.
Except when the line producer asks you to come back, you know, for re-edits. Okay. Now your 15-minute film needs to be 7 minutes.
Oh, that's great.
Luckily, we don't do that to our competitors.
Yeah, no. is there a what, when you say short film, like what's
5 to 9 minutes?
5 to 9 minute films.
Yeah,
okay.
We have finally gotten to the point where we unfortunately have to disqualify anyone that goes over. Mm-hmm. Because when we have 40 films over like two time blocks, over a matinee time block and an evening time block, that is just like if everyone did that. That would add literally hours to the program.
Yeah,
I know.
And we want to make sure that we show like everybody's movie.
Even just like 1 minute over. And
if that's in 40 movies, that adds 40 minutes
to the
program. I mean, that's fair. I think that's fair. And some people will not think it's fair. Anybody who's never organized a large festival or something along those lines.
I was just thinking about that.
When you give, you give those certain parameters for a reason. To weed out the people who didn't read. I'm like, if you can't read the application, if you can't do your homework, if you can't submit your EPK, if you can't do whatever, then you're just automatically out. And I know that that sounds harsh, but because you're taking up space from people who did do their homework. And that's important because if you did, I know you're going to be on time. I know you've practiced. I know you know your shit, right?
I think it's so hard for these filmmakers, though. And we've been there to... to kill their babies.
Yeah.
Like that scene, that 30-second scene that is just fucking brilliant. It is the coolest thing ever, but it just is now 9 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well,
but
all
my favorite films have only been 7 minutes long.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, and some of the judges' favorite films have only been 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's half the challenge is like the efficiency of storytelling, of like trying to get all of these ideas into, you know, a tight space and make a cohesive story that's meaningful and emotionally evocative. And you know, it just, you know, the ones that like evoke your, like the forward part of your brain weirdness are just the coolest things. And, you know, sometimes that can be done in, you know, 30 seconds, although that would be disqualified in our film competition, but, you know, but sometimes it can be done in a short time. Sometimes it takes a long time, but it really is one of the greatest challenges I've found from a lot of the filmmakers to really just tone it down and get it within those time constraints and make it an efficient story and make it just clean and just flow.
But that's the exercise. That's part of the exercise of doing this is, you know.
And it's beautiful when it happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a challenge, like in anything, right? Is you want to, you know, writing songs, you know, you want it to be full. You want it to be good. And as, you know, if you're coming up with the idea from the, you know, lyrical side of it and you've got a story to tell, then you have to figure out the economy of that, right? Mm-hmm. And like I've sat down and written a song and then first time I went to record the demo, I got done and I went, 7 minutes. Who the fuck am I, you know? Iron Butterfly, what the hell is this? You know? Like, this isn't the, you know, I'm not Stairway to Heaven here. What the hell am I doing? And so then you go back and, you know, there's always that process of like figuring out how to, you know, keep the story where it needs to be or the song where it needs to be. You know, sometimes it's just perfect. Like Villains is a 2.5 minute punk song. It just boom, came together, 2.5 minutes, perfect. It's right.
Yeah.
It's not a college essay.
That's
like, exactly. The word count doesn't matter.
Exactly, right?
That's part of the math for punk rock and rock and roll. I mean, if it's a medium speed rock and roll, you probably have a 3 or 4 minute song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Five, you're fucking pushing it, buddy.
Right.
But a punk rock song, if it's more than 3 minutes, you're fucked. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be 1:58.
Right.
Something
2.5
up to 3, but that's it.
If you get like 302, the last 4 seconds of it better be some studio, the drummer's breaking a kid or something, right?
Yeah,
it better be Johnny Rotten saying or Sid Vicious saying blisters on my fingers or some shit, right?
Right,
you know, it's got to be something like that if it's punk rock. So, my wife and I were just talking about that because
it's just kind of, you know, beginning, a middle, and end.
Just get to it, make it fast and punchy. I put on an X playlist for my wife before I left because X is going to be playing in Reno in November.
They are?
Yeah.
Oh, I love X.
Tickets. Who's X?
X is a punk band.
Los Angeles. Punk.
I was going to say X. Yeah. Somebody explain.
Cowpunk, kind of.
Are they?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Explain it to me. Definitely. Like I'm a millennial.
They got like a twang, but they're punk rock.
Yeah, some of their mid-career stuff gets a little bit more twangy. Their early stuff was just like, Villain. Honestly,
it sounds like something I would enjoy.
Like Villains. Villains is a.
You've probably heard some before. Yeah. Some X. Yeah. They've got some.
And where are they playing?
They're playing at the Silver Legacy with Los Lobos.
Oh, okay.
Because they're both from LA and both the same time period. And it's like they're calling it like 100 years of rock and roll because they each have like 45, 50 years of being a band. Okay. Right. And, but yeah. And so my wife's not a huge X fan. She doesn't – Xene's voice – Xene is the female lead singer. Kind of rubs her the wrong way. So we were talking about that, and I said, I put on a playlist for you. And she's like – you know, it's like 10 songs. I said, but you'll be done in less than half an hour because it's – you know. Because it's X.
I saw X at the Mosswood Meltdown a few years ago.
Oh.
And it was fantastic. It was super awesome. Xene moved like Xanax feels. But it was like a meditative thing to be there with her, you know.
Yeah.
Well, they're up there, John Doe and Xene.
Oh yeah.
Billy
Zoom, and that's the thing. It's the original guys. It's DJ Bonebreak and Billy Zoom. It's the original band.
Nice.
Everybody's back together. And actually, I think the first time I was on the pod, you and I commiserated about. I think we didn't know each other, but we were at the same X show back in the early 90s.
The one at the Limelight. Yeah.
Yeah.
John Doe said I had a cool car, even though it was my ex-wife's car.
I remember
Rambler. Yeah. It was a '65 Rambler.
Yeah.
Do you remember that car, Rick?
Fuck no! I'm so
I remember bad. That story.
Yeah,
and then yeah, you guys.
And that was such a good. Well,
yeah,
and,
this is a podcast. We can swear, huh?
We can do whatever fuck the yeah, fuck buddy. We want.
And at that, I'm so used to Alice, where you know I've got the FCC on my ass. Right?
I did a TV interview for that Prime thing, and I was so worried about. You know, KOLO is not going to be cool if I drop a F bomb.
No. But, yeah.
But yeah, that
different
was
different headphone
that,
rules.
That X show is where I met Stacy Toll and bought a Gunshot Liquor cassette tape.
The best,
right?
I love
and then
that
we
band.
That was when I knew, like, all right, Nick and I are going to be able to talk.
Yeah,
we that's have when X, Stacey we have was, X and Gunshot Liquor in common.
Stacy was one of my heroes.
Yeah,
and then later in life she became my friend, and then I was in her band, and I got to like sub for Goldie and Gunshot Liquor, mm-hmm. and yeah. But anyway, we regressed. We were talking about the films. Yeah, you were saying sorry. With the playlist, there was something about beginning, middle, end, and the playlist. What was it?
Oh, just about how short the X playlist was going to be because it was a punk playlist.
Oh yeah, yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. Well, so that yeah,
and I mean, okay, I love music. I have no understanding of like how to make music. It's just pure magic to me. But I feel like it has like these ebbs and flows of like the emotionality of like almost a movie.
Yeah,
absolutely. Uh-huh.
It's storytelling.
Yeah,
same thing.
Like
just a different type.
Like is there a structure? Like I remember like vaguely like Abacab, and maybe this is like really infantile and like I don't know, but I remember this concept, you know, and one of the things that I'm totally obsessed with in terms of like screenplay writing and storytelling is like, you know, Joseph Campbell's Hero of a Thousand Faces and like the ebbs and the flows and the steps in a story.
Like Snyder Saved the Cat, who we give an award for.
Actually, in all fairness, yeah.
We have the Blake Snyder Saved the Cat Storytelling Award that we give away at art film competitions.
Yeah, yeah, and Save the Cat is a storytelling structure that's actually loosely based on, you know, Hero of a Thousand, Joseph Campbell's Hero of a Thousand Faces. But like, is there, and it has like 15 beats and like ordinary world and like the upside down world and the final world and bad guys and, you know, fun and games and like these really cool names for this like phases in storytelling. Like, is there like a common thing in music that had like that structure?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, you know, verse, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus, verse, you know, or verse, chorus, you know, there's that kind of look at it. But basically, I'm not personally, and Nick can definitely chime in, like, I'm not married to it has to have a bridge or it has to have this. The song will kind of tell you where it needs to go.
Exactly. You know? Like the movie will tell you where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. That's why directors don't really, I mean, you know, while they're filming it, other shit happens and they're like, now this is the part of the movie I didn't even know was going to fucking be here. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. We have an actor that songs. We work with every time we make a movie, Emily Meyer, and she is fantastic to work with because she'll see things in our script that we never even imagined. And the first film we were working with her on was a zombie film, and she came out with a pregnancy cast from when she was pregnant, and she was like, how do we feel about this if my character's pregnant right now? And we were like, oh this changes like the whole mode of our story. Nice. Because I don't know if you know this, but in zombie movies any sort of dystopian, if there are any children present, it means that there's hope for the future. But you take movies like Blade Runner, for example, where there are no children, there's really no hope for the future. So like adding that element of a child, it's like, oh, there's hope in this story for a future generation.
Which, for the record, we made this zombie movie before we took this over as the love story.
Yeah.
It was basically like – it was this flashback of her like telling her husband that, look, I'm pregnant, and aww, little nuggets coming along. And then the zombie apocalypse happens.
And we went back and forth between the two timelines. That was for the Love Notes Valentine's Day film competitions that we do in February. And we got read to filth. By the judges for doing a horror movie for Valentine's Day.
Oh, whatever. That sounds great. That's my kind of Valentine's movie.
They instituted a policy after that of no horror films for that particular competition, which we have since lifted.
Yeah, as soon as it was in our hands, we're like, that rule's going out the window.
Sounds like we might have a few people with control issues. You know that their homes are flawless.
Yeah, I feel like we should let the artists do whatever they want. Even though we're giving them, you know, these general genres of, you know, love stories for Love Notes, sci-fi for Moon Rocks, and horror for Carson Creepy, there are so many subgenres in there that you can work with. And I'm always blown away at how our local filmmakers interpret those ideas, and the prompts especially can affect people's artistry.
Right on.
I love that.
That's so cool.
Well, I think the blending of genres just like creates such a, it's what creates like newness, like things that we've never seen before might be a horror movie and horror and comedy are always combined or often combined, but like a horror romance, you know, combining genres actually, I think, creates new ways for people to think about their storytelling and to tell stories and to like shock audiences and to move them in different ways. And I think giving them the latitude, giving our folks as much latitude as we can possibly give them within the guidance of having to, you know, giving them the prompts, which kind of ensures that they took these 2 weeks to make this and they're not, you know, they didn't make this like last year.
Right.
You see whatever school That's film smart. Project.
Yeah.
But to give them as much latitude to be creative and to tell their stories and to you know, maybe shock us or awe us or make us go awe.
I love a zombie apocalypse romance. That is also going on the band name.
Warm Bodies is a great
Warm
movie.
Bodies. It is. Yeah.
I cited that to the judges when they gave us that feedback, and they were not having it.
No part of it.
I did a whole blog post the first year that we did Love Notes about horror romance, and I did like a whole listicle of like, here are my favorite horror romances. Warm Bodies was on there. Bride of Chucky, Bride of Frankenstein. You know, I can go on and on. You can check out the blog.
We will check out
the blog. Yeah, how can people do that on the internet one more time?
NVStorytellers.org, like Nevada, NVStorytellers.org.
All right.
Yeah, and actually, we have links to YouTube on there that actually has all of our previous movies.
Nice.
I think except for one right now, which is the winner of our last competition. Which was just fucking brilliant.
Yeah, they asked us to take it off of
YouTube. It was
so good,
you can't put it on YouTube.
Well, no, they're shopping
they're,
it.
Yeah, they're shopping around to other festivals.
Nice.
Which we hope that these competitions are a launch pad for local filmmakers to do. That, you know, they start here in our little sandbox and then they go on to the professional realm. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened with us. We were competitors and then, you know, kind of got our sea legs in these competitions, and now we have a script that's been optioned and we're playing with the big kids at the big film festivals.
Right. Nice. It. I know you Very probably cool. can't tell yeah. us anything about that. Yeah, so we'll keep it under wraps until you can. Should we get another song? What do you think?
What a great idea.
Sure.
Yeah. What song?
Absolutely. So let's try we'll do one of the solo projects. This is the I think the first thing I recorded with Adam and Thomas, and it's got Rick Stricker on harmonica. This is a song I wrote a long time ago that I updated recently. So it's an old, new old song called Freak for Hire.
Idaho. My hair traffic's moving too damn slow. But it's that jerk in a Tesla or that creep in a truck. Now, I don't drive too bad, but other people, man, they suck. I got this lack of ambition, gonna put the blame on it. I wear a shirt on the job that's got my name on it. I'm hourly, non-exempt, getting paid to perspire. Another 40-hour stiff, a freak for hire. Come on, work it now. Across is basic, born and plain. Got to keep my crazy covered, present as sane. I walk amongst you, hide in plain sight. If I let my flag fly, y'all might just die of fright. I can fulfill the desires you've never shared. I'll do what leaves others shaken, scarred, and scared. My dirty deeds ain't cheap. Demand drives prices higher. I get your premium sin from your freak for hire. Come on, get it now.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Love that harmonica, dude.
Who was playing the harmonica on that one?
Yeah, so that's Rick Stricker. He's a local. He's retired now.
Blues dude.
Yeah, blues dude. He plays at the jams and stuff. And he was a touring musician back in the day, up and down the West Coast and stuff. And I met him at open mics. I've met a lot of folks, most of the folks here. And yeah, and I asked him. I've played with Rick before, like on my solo gigs, pre Trouble Show and stuff. He's played with me and been the harmonica, backed me up and stuff a few times back in pre-COVID days. As we started working the song, I was like, I got a thing. This will work. And so I called up Rick and I kind of told him, I was like, hey, man, played him the song a couple times. I said, what do you think? He goes, yeah, I'll see what I can do. And just nailed it, right?
Fucking
loved it. Yeah. Yeah, and so yeah, and Thomas and Adam played bass on it, and Thomas played drums, and they definitely helped with the. You can hear Thomas's production on there. He did a lot of nice things by layering in the harmonica in different ways, and just really fun working with those guys. That was a lot of fun.
Damn, an
old tune.
My dad's a musician, and he's one of those.
Is he here?
Hence the name Lyric, right?
Okay.
And he's one of those natural musicians who can just like pick up an instrument and know how to play it in an hour. But he said that the harmonica and the saxophone are the two instruments that were like the hardest for him to learn. I think it took him 2 hours.
Does he play?
Not as much as he used to. My dad had an accident about 3 years ago and he's a quadriplegic, but he is back to writing songs and composing songs through the Notables music therapy services.
Oh, they're nice. Wonderful.
They really are. I think that has been the most important step in his therapy.
Cool.
Because there's been a lot of muscle memory that has come back thanks to, her coming in and playing with him. And
that's great.
He's composing songs again. He's recording songs and putting them out on YouTube.
Fuck yeah. Okay.
Music therapy has been found to be helpful in a lot of different ways for really musicians, but also just for people, right? And
yeah,
brain injuries and all kinds of things, man. Music is magic.
It was super cool. Fascinating watching like bits of his recovery. Well, I mean, he's not fully recovered yet, but you know, he'd have to like lift his leg a little bit. And he would like count it out. And then he got the music therapist in. And she's like, lift your leg to the beat of the music. And he's just like, the first time he tried it, he's like, I've never lifted my leg that much. Because he was just doing it to the beat of the music.
Cool. And he's going to be playing drums soon.
Exactly. I think that just goes to the power of music and, for people, for just power of music, period.
Yeah.
It is magic.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's sometimes I feel like that's how I know God loves me, because he gave us music, you know?
Absolutely.
Aww. Nicely put.
It's, like, it's going to be rough. Here's something good. There you go.
Hey, I know.
What would we do?
During COVID, you know, there were a lot of threads and posts where it's like, hey, these are the 10 albums. You know, I think you tagged me in one time, Nick, and I tagged other people in different things. And it's like, here's a song, or like I remember one of them was albums that loved me and I loved them back, or I loved and loved me back, or whatever, you know, or things that saved my life. You know, I can think of definitely specific times in my life when I was going through a rough patch, man. And if it wasn't for this album or that album or this song or that song, you know, that really helped keep me tethered and not flying off into the wild unknown, you know?
Yep.
So
yep,
I'm going to have to ask or add that question to my podcast question list. What album saved your life, or what album keeps you grounded? What album?
Yeah.
You guys, it's funny. It lines up with something that's happening next week. I'm going to be on, we had Corey Elba, young punk rock girl who played the drums.
Hell yeah.
And her dad has a podcast called That Album Got Me High.
Oh,
and I'm going to be a guest on their show next week. I record. I don't know when it comes out, but I know I record next Thursday, I think.
Right on.
In the evening. Yeah. And I'm doing Nothing Shocking by Jane's Addiction, because that album got me high. I mean, all their albums, dude, but that was the first one that got me, and
that fucking Sublime album.
I was at Beastie Boys
Ill Communication. Yeah. Well, Beastie Boys.
Yeah, yeah. Paul's Boutique got me high.
Yeah. I was at work today, and I'm in one part of the shop, and I'm putting some books together, and I hear coming out, a guy's got a radio playing while he's working on something, and the Mountain Song comes on.
Nice.
And I was like, I was kind of surprised, because this guy, just, I don't know him well, but just in general, I wouldn't have thought, oh, there's a Jane's fan, right? Uh-huh. You know, and I was like, is that your Jane's? And he said, yeah. He goes, I love that album. And I was like, and it's one of those things, again, the magic of music. It's like, you know, you make assumptions sometimes. We all profile other folks sometimes based, no matter how hard we try to be objective and non-judgmental.
On looks, yeah.
Sometimes just based off of, you know, and especially if there's somebody you only see in certain scenes, right? Like if all I know is this guy from work, you know, or from this thing, then I'm not, you know, it limits what you do, you know, or what you know. And it reminds you, like, hey, you know, keep that mind as broad as you can. But that was super cool. I was like, yes.
That's why I love when you go to concerts and there's just all different types of people, but you all love the same band, and you're like, well, we're family now, dude.
Right.
We all love the D.
Yeah. I was
we
just
all love the D. That's the name.
Guilty.
Of
the
yeah. I was at Jazz Fest last week in New Orleans, you know, dropping names like I'm cool or something. But yeah, I was at Jazz Fest, and that's a great example. Those big shows like that, you know, there's all these people sitting out there of all the different ages, different backgrounds, and especially something like that where people, you know, we came in from Reno and other people were, you know, I think we ended up running into like two or three different British couples while we were there. And, you know, it's like, it brings people together and it heals us and it, you know, that's the great thing about music. Yay, music.
I've made a friend in Sacramento from the New Kids on the Block concert I went to last year.
We
started following each other on Instagram, and like, we're talking to each other like every week.
Birds of a feather flock together.
I have to admit, I was actually floored at how good their concert was.
Really?
Because I was never a fan as a kid.
I dragged him. I'm like, come on, we're going.
I bet they have great production.
Oh, I'm sure.
Costume,
yeah.
And the whole.
Oh, and it was so much fun because DJ Jazzy Jeff opened. Paula Abdul did a set.
What?
And then New Kids came out. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, along those, one of the bands that we saw at Jazz Fest was Morris Day and the Time.
I've seen them, too. I saw them at Cargo.
That was fucking nuts, man.
That was a great concert.
They came out, and it was like, I'm not sure, but it might be 1985 again.
O-E-O-E-O.
It's time for good nostalgia. All us millennials are old enough to buy festival tickets. So we got that disposable income now. So
indeed.
Should we do the thing?
I don't know if we're going to do the thing
you
this
don't
week.
Think we should?
It's looking like
you only don't want to do it because you know we have to ask my question at the end.
Well, we could do a truncated version. So give me that music, Rick. Let's go.
As you wish, Mr. Ramirez.
Oh, hi, Zombo. Nice to see you. That's right, folks. It's time for the Worst Little Kit Quiz Fast Edition. That's why I'm talking so fast and I don't know what I'm saying. That's where we're going to ask these guys a couple questions each. Breck, do you want to participate in the asking or the being questioned? Answering is the word.
Answering, then.
You want to do some answers?
Okay. Sure, okay.
All right. Me and Kim and Rick will all ask you a long form, and then we'll ask you a this or that, and then we'll score you arbitrarily.
okay.
My first question would be, what happens to us when we die? And we'll start with Lyric.
I'm really into the reincarnation aspect. Mm-hmm. So I think that we get to... you know, kind of review our life, and if you were kind of not a nice person, you might have to go into like soul rehab for a little while. But I don't think it's hell. I think it's more like you're with your spirit guides, and then I think after you have some like good reunion with your soulmates, which can not just be like the people that you were married to, but like your best friends and whatnot, then y'all choose a new life together.
Wow.
Nice.
I like it. Thought Deep. Out. Yeah. Breck, same question.
You become inspiration for the folks who you left behind, one way or the other, in a good way or a bad way, depending upon how you live. That's that's our fate.
Mm. Very good, Taylor.
I think we have like a ghost realm first where we get to watch the people that we love and still like take some part in their lives, and then when everybody that you care about has moved on to the next level, then you get to go and apply for reincarnation to come back as something more fun and maybe together with the people, and then you get to come back and do it all over again.
Of course, it would be very administrative in the Virgo's afterlife.
I was
going to
say, it sounds like really, really bureaucratic.
Like in the first Beetlejuice.
Leave it to the Virgo.
I have always wanted to write. I have this like concept of a movie idea called Heaven
ask,
Inc.
Is that a movie
it is
you're
very
working
much
on?
Structured a bit. It totally is.
I had the, like you mentioned earlier, like we review the application, and if I can tell you didn't have your shit together, no reincarnation for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
Well, then you just get reincarnated as something a little more shitty. Yep. And maybe like you have to like learn the lesson.
Like, chicken.
Like, I feel like really, really bad people get reincarnated as industrial chickens. Because, I mean, that is, like, seriously, like, the worst life I could imagine.
Oh,
yeah, but for, like, I don't know, Hitler or something? I mean...
All right. My question. It's a new question. Okay. So for $5 million, you have to be locked in a coffin for 10 hours with either spiders or snakes. Which would you pick, spiders or snakes?
Spiders. I have a deep fear of an actual phobia of
snakes. Would you do it, though, for $5
million? Yeah. Actually,
okay.
I would.
Okay. Breck.
So I'm thinking it'd be easier. There are more orifices that a spider could work its way into, you know, than a snake. Like, I could probably manage to keep the snakes out of everywhere unpleasant. And they'd just be crawling over me. Spiders, though, would get in somewhere. Like, you got to breathe, and they'd get in somewhere. God. So I'm going to say snakes.
Hands down, snakes.
Okay.
Snakes for sure. My God, spiders, that's so fucking terrifying.
Absolutely. Okay.
Good question.
So $5 million.
Okay, what is your most memorable story from middle school? And we'll begin with Taylor.
Well, it's the one that just popped in my head. So this is really terrible. And so actually one of the only like times I've ever even almost gotten into a fight. There was this kid, and I was in the halls alone, and we ran into one another, and his name was BJ. And I didn't know what a BJ was then, so I called him the long form of BJ. Well, blowjob, because I guess we're not censored here.
We're not censored.
So I called him blowjob, and he like tried to take a swing at me, and... Then way later, I learned what a blowjob was, and I'm like, "Oh, that was kind of a dick move on my part."
Yeah,
but,
no wonder.
But I got
in middle school too.
I got detention for it, so that was apparently the story that just popped into my head.
At any time, when you were getting detention for it, did anybody say, "Do you even know what blowjob means?"
Actually, I'm pretty sure that BJ told me I didn't know what blowjob meant.
Okay, good.
But certainly the vice principal, actually, and I remember that he had a paddle, one of those big wooden paddles with the holes in it on his
wall.
You are
millennial. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, I'm technically an Xer, but.
Oh, are you?
Just barely.
You're just on the cusp. You just look young.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, the vice principal certainly did not tell me what a blowjob was. So.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, there's my most memorable story.
Nice. Okay.
Breck?
So, a buddy of mine, a good friend of mine, who I still in contact with, he was living with me for a while, and there was a girl that wanted to date him. We'd got grounded for doing something, and so we were stuck at the house, but he was like, hey, we should go over to Lori's house, because Tanya's over there. I'm making up names, I can't remember. And I was like, dude, I don't want to go, man. This is no, I don't, you know, we're going to get in trouble. No, dude, we'll be back before your mom gets home from work. It'll all be good. Right now, let's go. I'm like, all right, man. And so he said, come on. And it's New Mexico in the summertime. I was wearing a pair of cutoff jeans and I just grabbed a leather jacket, no shirt. And I threw the leather jacket on.
That's a good look.
And like, you might be, it's an audio medium, but if you saw me now, you'd be like, dude, no shirt and a leather jacket. But trust me, it was the 80s. I was hot.
And you would fit in. Have you been to Folsom? I mean, come on. Right? Like.
And so now I was skinny. This is anyway. And so I go and I got like long, my wife calls it my John Cougar Mellencamp hair days because I had a big swoop in the front. Yeah. So that was my
sucking
long hair.
Chili dogs.
Exactly. Right. It was, yeah. This is crumbling down. And so it's, so me and my buddy Frank go over to this girl's house. Right. And I didn't know, like, it was like a big family barbecue. And so like they've got family there and these big, you know, we're practically in Texas. We're in southeastern New Mexico. We're, you know, hit Texas with a rock from where we're at. So these big Texas cowboys, they see me come walking up and they're like, who is this fucking clown, you know? Mm. And my friend Frank, he's Native American, so they are not happy, right? There's this tall, good-looking Indian guy and then me.
That's sexy.
Right? You know, shirtless, yeah. if they had that word in 84, that's what I would have been called, right? And so, you know, and they're like, who are these clowns? And we hang out. And the crazy thing is that I ended up dating the friend of the girl that my friend wanted to date, right, is how it all worked out. And like we quote disappeared for a while. Well, and then Hoss Cartwright, the dad, came and found us, and he's not happy. So he basically kind of by the ear drives us back to my house, and we pull up, and he kicks us out of his truck, and who's home but my mom? So we got busted by the dad. Busted by my mom, added 2 weeks to being grounded. Just it all went to shit. But I got a girlfriend for a few weeks out of it. We didn't last long, but
totally
yeah.
Worth it, right?
All because it. And I'm all because of the leather jacket, no shirt. I'm sure.
Worth it.
I'm sure.
Okay, talk Lyric. To Beat.
All right. So at the beginning of eighth grade, we did a production of The Lion King. I've always been a theater kid, and I played Pumbaa. And my history teacher loved it so much that for the rest of the year, he would not start class until I would respond to him when he would go, when he was a young warthog, I'd have to respond, when I was a young warthog.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. That's great.
So, yeah.
Were you bullied?
It was a whole year. Oh, yeah. I was fat and gay. Oh, I was so bullied.
Oh, fuck. Wow. All right. So those were the long form. Let's get with the rapid fire.
All right.
Elvis or Beatles?
Oh, God.
Got to pick one.
Elvis.
Uh-huh.
Elvis.
Beatles.
Ooh, oh, nice.
Two Elvis.
Yeah.
Simpsons or South Park, Taylor?
Oh, Simpsons, easily.
Simpsons.
Simpsons.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Trek, for sure.
I think we've already established that.
Yeah.
I'll be stated for the record.
I'll be the lone dissenter and be Star Wars.
And I'll choose Star Trek, even though my dad's going to hate me for that answer.
Star Trek has brought me so many million hours of joy. I can't turn it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Same here. Same here.
If it was a choice between one existing and one not, I'm picking Star Trek.
Taylor and I just rewatched all 11 films in the franchise. And
even the new one with Michelle Yeoh.
Wait, no,
in timeline order. And
oh my God.
I thought you were talking about Star Trek.
Star Wars. Taylor was like, you know, this all could have been avoided if Yoda made better choices.
And then for the latter ones, if Luke Skywalker made better choices.
And he's not wrong.
Yeah, but then there's no movies.
Exactly.
Like the whole Lord of the Rings things, if Gandalf would have just like gave a little bit more information at a couple of key spots.
Yeah.
Then, you know, like...
And none of us would be sitting here for 4 hours in the fucking theater.
Watching people walk. For fuck's sake.
And talk
Maybe tell them why they shouldn't go through the mine, Gandalf.
If you could... Okay, now, do we choose, like, Elvis or Star Trek? Only one can exist.
Mm. Oh, Star Trek, easily.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Well, that's for me, Elvis, because I said Star Wars to begin with.
Okay,
so.
I knew you were going to be more Elvis. Music than nerd.
And
okay,
I'm going to say Star Trek because I feel like it's
more nerd than
very
music.
Very cultural.
No, I get it.
Culturally,
it's better for humanity than Elvis.
Poor so E.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he was a great guy. I'm just
we all have our issues.
Yeah.
It depends on how you look at it. They probably had an Elvis episode in Star Trek, right? Come on, nerds.
Actually, I think there was a holodeck episode in The Next Generation that had something like an Elvis.
All right, okay. We're going to have to look that up.
And there might have been a DS9 in the lounge where they sang Elvis.
That might be true, too.
Well, what about, the DS9 guy that was, I forgot his fucking name, but yeah, the lounge singer. I mean, that's not Elvis, but it's more Dean Martin, but still.
Well, Dean Martin was a huge influence on Elvis.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, this is supposed to be rapid fire.
So yes. Should we wrap it up?
What is the best burger in Reno?
La Soul Saloon at the in Virginia City. They just opened up. They have a kimchi burger.
Okay.
Well, I good to know.
It's in Virginia City.
0 points.
But good to know.
Yeah.
I'm saying Scoopers.
Scoopers.
The original Scoopers on Prater.
Nice.
I say it's the Juicies that doesn't exist anymore. Wells and Mill.
Was pretty great.
Ate a lot of that.
Shit.
All right, okay, Rick, get your last question.
Before that, real quick.
Oh, okay.
What is the what album did you love that loved you back?
Oh yeah, very good.
John Mayer, Continuum.
Mm.
It's the soundtrack of my life.
Oh fuck. I'm just going to pick one. Soundgarden, Super Unknown.
Nice.
Underworld, Live, Everything. But it's also tied with maybe Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion 2.
Whoa. Wow.
True.
I didn't know we got two. I would have also said Scissor Sisters Nightwork. Because that's the other soundtracks of my life.
that's a whole pod for me. So we got
right?
Okay, and now my quiz ending question. Would you rather have a person of your choosing shit in your mouth or punch out a 2-year-old? Go.
In no fucking way, Rick. I'm knocking that baby out.
Yeah, punch the 2-year-old.
You said the opposite in the song.
No.
No, I did not. That's exactly what I said in the song.
I thought you said the other way in the song.
No.
Ain't
no fucking way, Rick. I'm knocking that baby out.
I'm hearing what I want to hear.
Obviously.
Yeet the kid across the yard.
If you guys are wondering what song we're talking about, you're not a Patreon member.
If
you're a Patreon member, you know if you opened your email, the bonus show that we give you, you know what we're talking about. But there's hope for you. You can become a Patreon member. Rick, how do they do that?
Patreon.com/worstlittlepodcast. Give $5 a month or more, and you get the extra bonus show, which typically has a song that nobody else gets to hear, just like this week.
And this week's was amazing.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you so much. You are the best.
Oh, shucks.
Did Taylor answer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, everybody's punching the kid. Everybody's punching the kid. Okay.
Looks like Taylor won. Taylor's in first place. We don't have to discuss second and third. Taylor, you won the quiz.
Yay, what do I win?
You won a soundtrack to Nowhere, Nevada. CD soundtrack. I hope you have a CD player still.
On my computer.
Perfect.
We might have a sticker for you,
and maybe
too.
In my car.
And maybe in your car. There
I
you go.
I think it might have a CD player in it.
You guys are movie makers. We made 10 years ago, we made Nowhere, Nevada. Not a short film, a feature film.
Yes, I see my good friend Mary Bennett was in it.
Yes, yes, yes. So we got soundtracks for that.
Excellent.
And I'll probably just give them to everybody.
Yeah. We have a sticker.
I got mine.
Only the winner
you already
gets
got yours.
It.
Yeah.
And I got a copy of the DVD because that was on a long time ago.
That's right. We ran out of the movie. But you guys, you can watch it on, if you got, what is that, Roku? Anybody got up to Roku?
I think it's on Amazon too, isn't it? Or it was.
No, I had the Roku once, but I got a shot
for like a year,
it
but then they took it off.
I thought that was the alien from American Dad, but I think that's Rogu. Or no, or is that the...
Rogu. Yeah, it's Rogu.
What's the
Roger.
Little, what's the little Yoda thing in The Mandalorian?
Oh,
Grogu. I don't know. I'm so lost.
Anyway, yeah. Look it up on Roku. Oh, now Roku? I can't even say it.
It's Roku.
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 If you just search in the search bar, don't go to the Roku channel. It's not that. You look in the search bar on your Roku, and it pops up in some like film, cheap free film thing with a million commercials. But the title pops up, and it doesn't say Nowhere, Nevada. It says Criminal Love, which is a bunch of bullshit. But anyway, that's another way you guys can watch it out there.
There are many of these left.
Which sticker is that one, Rick?
Bravo, motherfucker.
Bravo, motherfucker.
Oh, you got one of those. Nice.
That's fun. Awesome.
That's what I'm a proud owner.
All right. So.
And that was referenced in the song as well.
I remember that.
That's what made me think of it. I was like, I still got some of those stickers.
I didn't think we had anymore.
Awesome.
That's right, great.
So before we go, one more time, tell everybody when your show, when the movie thing's happening and how they could do that, and your next show.
You can sign up for the Moon Rock Sci-Fi Short Film Competition, which kicks off on May 21st by visiting nvstorytellers.org. Your film is due June 4th, and you can also join us at the Brewery Arts Center for the screening and awards on June 14th.
Perfect.
Cool. So I've Villains by Trouble Show will be out sometime in June. The name of the solo project, partially brought to you by the Nevada Arts Council, is going to be Big Empty Angst, which is basically what it's like living out in the big empty of Nevada. I've got a show. I'm playing at the Winnemucca Music and Murals, opening that show in the morning. With the
nice,
sun up.
Daytime show.
Yeah, daytime show. Well, I'm pulling double duty because then I'm going to drive back to Reno and I'm going to open for Irreplaceable Beans at the Midnight Coffee Roaster.
Man.
My first time playing at Midnight Coffee.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's cool. So, yeah, I'm excited to play somewhere new. That'll be fun. And then I've got a show at Keol Irish Pub in June and then off into the future.
Very good. Very, very good. And then we're going to listen to a couple more songs. Oh, right. Did you bring two more?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll just tag them on the end of the show here.
Cool. Right on. Yeah.
Real quick though, before we do that, I just want to plug one thing this weekend.
Yeah. What
you guys are
going
to do one thing. Go see Los Pistoleros for their fundraiser show. They're trying to make it to, Spain actually.
Right.
Yeah. They're trying to make it to Spain. They've got a festival gig lined up. So they're doing some fundraising and it's actually going to be at the 4th Street Coffee Bar, 4th Street Brewery.
Yeah.
With Hot Rod Rebellion, Cryptillions, and
oh my god.
Yeah. There's gonna be burlesque acts, DJ Zenobia, a little
goth
action.
You guys, that's gonna be a fucking incredible show.
And it's gonna be May 17th. So what is that? Friday or Saturday? Saturday. Saturday night.
God
damn it. So go check it out.
I have a band that night. I can't fucking, that's gonna be such a great night, you guys. Everybody within the sound of our voices, you have to go to that. It's gonna be so incredible. Those are just some of the best bands ever.
Yeah. Right on, you guys. Well, it's been a fun episode.
Thank you so much for having
thank
us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, Breck, what are the two songs we're going to hear after this?
So the next song coming up is a Trouble Show jam called New Groove, which is a bit of a shifting of gears for us. And then the last one I chose because it's aptly named Knowing When to Stop. And it's off my solo album, and it features the incredibly talented Rachel McElhaney on sax.
Oh, nice. Wow. Okay.
With that, for the Lord Strice, for the Reverend Rory Dowd, and everybody else who's ever been here, Chewbacca, we'll miss you. We'll see you next week, though. That's good.
With Matt Bushman.
With Matt Bushman, very good.
Right on.
And I think we have another speaker guest next week, so tune in for that. And thanks to you guys for being here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Life is short and we love you. Good night, ladies.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Like a shark through water, such a ravenous savage, it's gonna be a slaughter. You wanna thumpin' and bumpin', grindin' and smooth, too massive to be passive, gonna get the new groove, the new groove. Get yourself that new groove. Like you mean it, come on and come correct. Dance like you hope they're watching. Gonna flaunt that flex. And you're swinging and swaying, pounding the proof that you can catch what they're throwing. Gonna grab a new groove, a new groove. Get yourself that new groove. That fine and funky new groove. New groove. Oh, how you like that new groove? The new groove. Come on, kick it in. We'll be right back. I'm a horrible person, but I think I could be better. I tallied up my sins, got them listed in a letter. I sent a copy to heaven, requesting redemption. Warned to the Bureau of Consequence, seeking an exemption. The Bureau's cryptic's in a box and a rope. Heaven was blunt, they just said no. Stocked up my shelves with some hope and faith. This time I'll use it all, let none go to waste. Good karma and peace gonna take me through the night. Till I end up sipping on some doubt and chasing it with fright. And my face starts to wilt, and I get filled up on some gloom and a hidden box of guilt. Break my spirit, but we'll see how far it bends. I need to scrub on these scruples, my conscience needs a cleanse. You know the high road and the low road both take you to the coffin. Thinking you're tougher than you are can get your ass kicked often. So I'm putting my pride to the side, moving on, let it drop. The key to a happy ending is knowing when to